Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers. I had to remember which show I was doing. Episode 767, The Marvelous. The Marvelous sounds like they should be like an all-girl Motown group.
Oh, I was like, well, you're half right.
Yeah. Yeah, the all-girl part.
I'm glad you've already addressed my issue with the film.
Not enough singing?
Yeah. There are. Well, okay, both of my issues with the film.
Trust me, there was enough singing.
So I guess let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Matt.
And this is Tom. Kevin's out this week with a sick child. So.
Oh, I was like, making salsa.
Yeah, making salsa. Yeah. He's out on maternity leave. No, I don't know.
Paternity leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. He's out.
That's fair.
So I guess before we dig in, let's do some shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, iHeart, TuneIn. While you're there, be sure and follow so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave us a review. Super helpful. Greatly appreciated. You can also find us on the Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. If you want to help out, a free and easy way you can do it is by sharing an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode this week include Librarian Cynthia, Jason Weesey, Chris Falls, Tom Dowdy, Julianne Jordan, Gabriel Lugo, Ralph Tribble, Chris Magic Man, Heather Sachs, Taylor Ward, Invasion of the Remake, James Install, The Film Bee, Feel and Film, Spoiler Piece Theater, Ronnie Castle, Geek to Me Radio, Colby Mack, In Session Film, Ryan Terry, Binge Movies, Matt Naglia, Mike and Oscar, and NostalgiaCast. So you can also find us on Patreon at patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content. You get even more of Matt.
That's right. Mm. Yeah. It's a horror movie podcast.
And Joe's horror movie
podcast. That's right.
And we like you extra.
We do.
So also, you can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/theclipout, where apparently we
The Clipout?
See?
Son of a bitch.
God dang it.
Any chance he gets, yeah.
YouTube.com/realspoilers.
Yeah.
Or sorry, slash at real spoilers.
Oh yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah. So I heard we had some a kerfluffle in our comments.
Not really a kerfluffle. It's just I tweeted this morning. I was like, you know, of all the dumb things that I've said on this podcast, never once did I think that saying that Elvis Presley was a pedophile is the one that was going to get me lit up. Our YouTube comments have exploded.
Because he's an ephebophile.
What is that?
Well, it's post-puberty. Post-puberty.
Yes, that's true.
It's because not actually.
Yes.
She has mature.
Correct.
But she is not legally of age.
Not really something I would want to get into.
Yeah,
the,
like
know,
the minutia of
yes,
what that
the,
yeah.
right.
the nuance of your inappropriate sexual attraction.
It's crazy. Definitely victim blaming of Priscilla, and it's unbelievable that I have to be like, I cannot believe that this is the thing that is going to get me, you know, people
yeah.
just like, you're wrong. And who's the real groomer? Is it the parents or is it Elvis? It's like both. I yeah. don't know what to tell you.
Well,
like,
we got to pick one?
Yeah.
Who's the
real monster?
I've got room in my heart to be mad at both of them.
Yes, correct.
That's, yeah.
Yes, that's what's happening over there right now.
Gotcha.
So, great.
I will avoid that.
Please do.
Yes.
Yeah. It's funny to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I guess there's all that. Let's dig in.
I can't remember the last time ever with a Marvel movie where there wasn't, for me at least, some level of excitement.
Like going in or watching?
Both.
Okay.
You were on the Quantumania episode.
Yeah, but those
so
for,
I don't
those
understand.
But like those first two Ant-Man movies are a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And
yes,
that next
sure.
last one wasn't a lot of fun. It
right.
was it had moments. I like Paul Rudd, but and this is the first time I remember being like, well, let's
whatever.
See, let's see what they do, I
be.
Guess.
Yeah.
And honestly, I was pleasantly surprised.
I enjoyed this movie.
I liked it a lot. There's a couple beats that are, you know,
this is not a perfect film by
no.
any stretch of the imagination.
No.
I think it gets it like I think Marvel is struggling with it starting to collapse under its own weight. There's a lot of backstory they need to feed you. And I feel like they fed it to you pretty quickly, pretty efficiently.
I think they did a pretty good job of it.
Yeah,
here.
But it's getting to be a lot, and they're running into the same problem that the comic books themselves had, right? Like storylines had gotten so long and so convoluted
yeah.
and that it was turning off new readers.
Yeah, you couldn't jump into Uncanny X-Men 342
right.
and have any idea what's going on.
Right.
Because there's a massive story. And that's you're not wrong. And it's
yes.
interesting that Marvel is currently encountering this and DC is about to relaunch and maybe fix their problems.
Boy, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think James Gunn was the right guy to pick.
Yeah.
I think people are a little bit exhausted and I don't know if they want to go on the ride again.
I think to that though, I think if it's good, this won't be an issue. I mean, the way he's pacing it,
mm-hmm.
you're going to have like two animated show or you're going to have the Creature Commandos, the Waller show, and then I think we go into Superman. So I do think that
sounds bad.
I don't know. Like
it's a thing I've never heard of and a character no one else has ever heard of. And then Superman.
Yeah. I think maybe
I've got to watch these two things already.
But I don't think you do though. Like I think that Superman is going to be he knows, right? Like James Gunn knows that they can't screw this up. Like that Superman movie.
I've seen him do it.
James, that's true. So I do think that they know that Superman movie needs to work and needs to be good. Otherwise,
well,
they're dead in the water.
I do. James Gunn doesn't seem to have much of an interest in like having the Guardians of the Galaxy all that tied in.
No,
like
he was able to do his own three.
Three wasn't that, you know,
no.
Maybe had the least ties to everything else.
I think that's probably
true. Of any of the later movies.
It's the Advantage of the Cosmic stuff. Like this. Like,
yeah.
It's not really tied into, you know, anything besides.
So yeah, seems like maybe he would know to stay away a little bit.
Yeah. Just do your own thing. But let's throw in the Green Lantern and the Metamorpho
right.
and Mr. Terrific. It's like, yeah. All right, bud, God damn it.
Now, I, famously, it's my whole thing. You guys have me on this show. I watch 9 movies to prepare.
Oh, boy.
And,
you watch all 32 movies and 15
WandaVision.
Well, I thought I would. I said, well, I haven't seen Ms. Marvel. I'll watch it. And then I thought, no, I won't.
It's a hot take. It's a good story.
And I wouldn't have had time anyway. But I did think, well, that I would never go into a movie like this without watching everything.
Sure,
right?
Sure, sure, sure.
Like, we're behind on American Horror Story.
Oh,
by like
so am I.
A season, but I won't watch the new one until I watch the one before it, even though they're not.
It's an anthology. It doesn't
connected.
Matter.
It
right.
just, I can't do it. But I thought, well, that might be a...
My mom, I used to make fun of my mom for that. She would read the paper every day, and they would stack up by her bed. And if she didn't, she would read them in chronological order as if it was a soap opera. So if she fell behind on the news, she like would have to read like the paper from 3 days ago, then the paper from 2 days ago. She couldn't just pick up today's paper and move forward.
You'd,
and
I'm just say, like,
but you've lived in the
world. Right, right.
Oh, did you hear
Walter Cronkite told us.
There's a car crash today on the... Don't tell me, don't tell me!
Right. Spoilers!
So I was curious, sort of, or maybe perhaps I constructed this idea in my head when I knew I wasn't going to be able to watch it and wanted to pretend like it was on purpose. Maybe it would be interesting to see one of these movies without...
Let's test them to see...
How did that go?
There were definitely moments where I went, so hold on, what does the band do?
Wait, did you watch WandaVision?
I did. Okay. I did see WandaVision, but... When she took off the band in the end of the movie and was still using her powers, and I'm going like, wait, hold on, wait.
So I think, because I also didn't, I started Miss Marvel.
Bangle.
What did I call it?
It's called the Quantum Band, but she calls it a bangle.
They call it a bangle.
They do.
I like the bangles.
No, they're good.
I respect her cultural heritage.
That's fair.
Unlike you.
I'm just saying what they also called it in the movie.
And I call it a bangle.
The big long bracelet, right?
Yes. I think... In the show, if I remember right, now spoilers for the show if you haven't seen it, I'm pretty sure she's a mutant.
Yes, that's my research is
okay.
Post movie has led me to believe that.
So
the bangle activated her X gene, and
that is correct. But they couldn't call it the X gene forever,
right? And they don't address her being a mutant until like almost the last line of the series,
right?
Oh yeah.
People in the comments and threads and stuff seem to be saying, like, she just kind of says it at the end. It's not, like, a big part of the movie. But then that... Or the show. But it did make me wonder, though, why they knew the bad lady wanted the other bangle. Why didn't she just, like, leave it
at home?
She doesn't need it? Anything?
It still gives her something, though, right? Like, it's...
I don't know.
So I think it's the one that generated the light. Like discs that she would jump off of and stuff like that. Like the big fists.
That's her. Now, again, none of this is all that important, but I did have a moment in the movie where she took it off or whatever.
Yeah.
And was doing stuff. And I went, well, hold on. Wait, what? And, you know, in a movie, even that like brief moment of that.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah, sure. And it's an interesting point, though, because Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't really, to your point, like, factor into the stuff that's happening on Earth, right? And in Far From Home, you've got, you know, Peter Parker interacting with Doctor Strange, and you've got all these different characters on Earth. But when you're in space, like, that's always been my draw of the cosmic side of Marvel, is even when they were doing Civil War, Secret Invasion, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy book was still just doing their own thing, because it didn't matter. So I felt like with this one, I was like, okay, we're not tied into Thanos, we're not dealing with the blip, we're not dealing with any of that but
then you do. Yeah.
Which they work it in there in a way I was like, okay, like that makes sense.
I like the way they've worked in the blip throughout these other movies in terms of like people, it would have a very real effect on your life.
Sure.
Like you can't just be like, oh, it's been 5 years. Everybody's back. Hooray. Happy ending. Like that's not a happy ending. Like, I mean, it's great that your loved ones are back, but there's going to create a lot of problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, estates have been distributed.
Oh, your wife is now married to somebody else.
Right. And like your home is gone.
Your kids are 5 years older.
Yeah. Like, you know, like there's no getting your house back. You lost your job. Like you know, like there would be so many issues.
In Monica's case, her mom dies.
Her mom dies while she's gone.
Yeah.
Like, and she totally misses it. Like, yeah. So
Monica's thing about Captain Marvel not being around.
That's
insane.
Yeah.
It's
one of those tropes that I think we've talked about where it's like, you know, if you just have a conversation where Carol
like
says
they just
hey,
needed conflict.
Saying like whole planets of people needed me and I saved their lives, and she's like,
not good enough.
I was sad.
I said I needed
but
you.
I was sad. I needed my aunt. Like I feel like as an adult woman now, you could understand a little bit.
If Monica's 17, 16, sure. I get that argument. Yeah. But at Monica at 30,
it does also kind of explain why she doesn't pop up during mm-hmm. Infinity War until the very end.
Oh, sure.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
another thing about not seeing Ms. Marvel. When they're showing all these flashbacks of Captain Marvel, Carol destroying the
Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah. I'm like, was in that show, I guess? But so I don't think it was.
No, she was only in the show for the only time you see her in the show is what you see in the movie is when she just pops up
into the room.
Into her bedroom.
That must have been maybe a cutscene because I mean she's wearing the full like Captain Marvel, the helmet, the whole shebang. Mm. So I don't know if maybe that was a cutscene from Captain Marvel, the first one, or if that was filmed for this, because at the end of that movie, she does say, like, I'm going to, because she fights off Annette Bening, and
she says she's going to
destroy the whole thing.
And it's weird. So it's weird to be watching a thing and then be like, well, I don't know how much I've missed now.
Right. Yeah.
And then another issue I have with all of it, it's starting to make for really bad dialogue because you only get so many times that you can go like, well, you were away for 5 years because of the blip, and, right. And you go and it's like these shortcuts to just sort of like fill people in. But then in a movie like this, you also have dialogue like, if the polarities of your powers are reversed,
there was a lot of science
to me, then that should cause the rift to close exponentially. And it's just the whole movie to me is just sort of packed with this sort of like, I don't know how this stuff works, but you'll just tell me right before you do the thing.
Right, right. I did like that scene though, where Monica kind of explains what they need to do. And both Carol and Kamala look at her like, what? And she was like, just shoot me with your energy.
Yeah.
And she was like, okay.
I mean, these
got
movies
that.
Always kind of revolve around, I have this crazy experimental theory that there's no way to test or even know for sure if it's right. I just kind of got a hunch.
And we got to wing it.
We've got 15 minutes left in this movie.
But now we're layering one type of thing on top of another thing of like catching everyone up and explaining all the things and I don't know, I didn't like it.
I think that this walks a very fine line.
Yeah,
I think there's two scenes that I'm just like, man, if you aren't into this, you are gonna hate this movie. And it's the training montage. And then it's the singing planet.
And I loved both of those.
Did you?
I thought the training montage was so fun. I was talking to someone about the movie. I was saying, like, Marvel movies to me, or action movies in general, sort of, we've seen action movies are
a dime a dozen.
We've done all of it, right? So almost all action movies have to be like, it's an action movie, but
sure,
and
right.
Here's our thing.
Here's your hook to level up this action.
Santa Claus is a Viking.
Right. Ant-Man gets small, right? Like, you go like, I don't want to see another. Well, he gets small. That might be fun. Oh, a Thomas the Tinker. That's fun. And I guess this one was the switching thing.
It was
like
a body switch.
It was the body swap stuff. Yeah.
Interesting part of it, which I don't. Well, I didn't understand how that worked. I didn't know that flying wasn't a power.
It's not a power?
It doesn't make him switch.
Oh, I think what made them switch is when they used the light power.
Sure, yes.
And they had to use it at the same time.
Right.
Which I also didn't
I didn't pick up on that until the very end.
Time.
Yeah.
The beginning, I would say the first quarter of this movie is edited very strangely. When the first time they all switch and then they're all back.
Yeah.
Like the little kid comes running in, she's like at her house, and I'm like, but you're in outer space, so we missed
just
a whole
happened.
Thing where Fury brought you home. Or, and I'm not saying I want that, like I'm dying to see that scene. It was just like a jump that it took me a minute to
I listened to Jason on Binge Movies do like a quick reaction to this, and he did have a good point where he said it does feel like Marvel or Disney wanted this to be 2.5 hours, and I feel like maybe Naya DaCosta was like, why? Like, we can do this in 2 hours. Like, we can do this in an hour and 50.
I think the runtime is a benefit.
Absolutely. I agree.
I agree.
100%.
This movie.
If this had been 2.5 hours, oh boy.
Yeah. And I think you're probably right. It was written or shot to be 2.5 to 3 hours. And then, I think in that case, they made the right call after that. But there was some strange...
there are some weird cuts.
And quick and just kind of like... You're filling in a lot of space and time.
In my head.
Yeah.
And I will say, one of the things that I think Brie Larson is a fantastic actress. She is, when she is on point and she is insanely good. This, I feel like she was done a disservice in the first Captain Marvel because she wasn't given any personality. She was just this, you know, this badass fighter that never really went anywhere. I think I like the moment in Endgame when Peter's got the Infinity Gauntlet and he's like, "Hi, I'm Peter," and she has like very tender moment with him where she's like, "Hey Peter, like, can I have that?" And he was like, "Sure," you know. And she just and then in this one I do feel like they gave her something to do. They let her be Carol Danvers and vulnerable but also trying to have like that tough exterior. So like I was into that. I was like, okay, this is the character that I've been wanting to see.
Mm-hmm, right.
It just took us.
For me, this
five appearances.
The ultimate saving grace of this movie is Kamala Khan.
She absolutely is.
Kamala Khan is great.
Yes.
And that actress is doing so much stuff that I don't think is on the page that she's just bringing to it.
Oh, sure.
Her reaction, like not dialogue, but if you watch her while other things are happening, she is always doing something.
I think there's a reason she's the lead in a certain post-credit sequence.
For sure. Like, she was great. And, like, I watched Ms. Marvel. I liked it. I didn't love it. I thought when
it was quirky enough.
I liked that stuff, and I liked her. When those two episodes where they go to India.
Flashbacks?
Yeah, were just a slog for me. Like, I just didn't care. But, in their defense, I'm also a racist.
Sure.
But, but I was like, that was a slog. And then when it came back around and back to the present day, I was on board again. And
sure.
So I thought she was great in this role.
Yeah.
I worry for it long-term because that enthusiasm works because she's new to the world and she's seeing it with fresh eyes. 4 movies from now.
I
don't know what this character does.
She'll be Peter Parker.
Yeah.
I that's what it is. I mean, remember when he first shows up, he's enamored with everything that's happening around him. He's looking up to Tony and he's, you know, the thing with Captain America where he's like, "Hey, big fan, like, sorry, I didn't mean to do that." But by the time we get to the end of Far From Home, he's a different character. And I've seen this complaint where it's like, is anybody else tired? Like by the end of the movie of her, like the hero worship. And it's just like, no,
I thought it was like cute. I thought it totally made sense.
Peter did it to Tony.
Yeah.
Kate did it to Clint.
And you see her starting to establish a non-hero worship relationship with her.
Yeah. You know? And I do like that even Carol has a moment where she's like, "Hey, man, I'm really sorry. I was kind of shit to you."
Yeah.
Like that wasn't fair. And they have that really nice moment.
I didn't know what she was talking about. And then I was like, oh, when she was going to get smashed by rocks and you said, "Hey, we got to leave."
Like, and you were like, "Hey, don't get smashed."
Right.
But she was like, "We have to save all these people." And Carol had to make the choice of like, you're not going to be able to save all these people.
Right.
Also, they're not really people.
I guess that's true.
I'm also an alien racist, just to be clear.
Speciesist.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, that makes me feel like there was like a cut thing where they get back on the ship and Carol's like, "You can't
give
like, that.
You get a little bit more of that. One like snapped at her."
Right. Yeah. But that, again, that's another thing where I think you have to go. Oh, yeah. I guess
something must have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I enjoyed the movie. It's not a perfect movie. I think all the things you're pointing out are fair.
It's one of the better ones they've put out.
The
recently.
Other stuff. Outweighed it.
I agree.
To me, and like the funny beats, the how they escape on the pod, like the,
oh yeah, I do worry. You know, when James Gunn does Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one, there is an influx of James Gunn-ness to the rest of the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little worried that Taika Waititi has kind of taken that role where I don't think Ragnarok has...
So what you're saying is you are in favor of gun control.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Big time. Big time.
post that on a Zack Snyder thread.
Oh, God.
You're going to be a hero.
And I like, and I think Ragnarok is one of the best ones they've ever done. As far as like the Marvel tier, A+. I think Love and Thunder is a mess.
Yeah.
And I
there,
worry.
There were things I liked, but absolutely. It did not. It was trying too hard.
Yes.
It was the Jay Leno of Marvel movies.
That's a great point. And the scene, you know, I can appreciate that it's an alien world and you can do whatever you want. There's no rules.
Right.
But I did. I was like, oh, God, like, please dial back the Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
In this scene. Now, the scene we're talking about is basically what's happened is since Carol has destroyed the Supreme Intelligence, she has basically doomed all of Hala, which is where the Kree live. They have no water. The air is unbreathable. And
which, to be fair to Carol, they got into a civil war, right? She didn't directly do any of that.
No, I think she, by destroying the Supreme Intelligence,
they
oh,
didn't.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They didn't know how to like govern themselves. This was my understanding, and they got into a civil war, and
caused the Skrulls.
Maybe, or it might have just been with the Kree.
With the Kree themselves. I think it was the Skrulls, because
if you have a civil war with another country, that's just a war.
I guess that's true. I see like what you're saying.
Civil war
a
is supposed to be. I mean, all I know is what I learned from that Guns N' Roses song.
Thank you.
But I don't want no civil war.
It's a good song.
Yeah,
I like that song.
Although some days I kind of do.
There are times.
Yeah. And then I'm like, well, I might be on board.
Yeah. Just as long as, you know,
we win.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. God forbid the other way wins.
Oof, goodness.
So basically what this new accuser, which I'm almost positive that this woman and Lee Pace, who played Ronan the Accuser, are like a couple in real life. So I do think that's kind of funny that they're both like, yeah, I'll take that hammer with the not power stone in it. So she is going after planets and people that Carol loves.
Yeah,
right. So she goes after the world where the Skrulls have set up life. And I feel like every time we see the Skrulls, I'm just like, well, there's 3 million more dead. Like, how many more of these poor bastards are we going to lose?
I don't. Well, and they're saying like we have nowhere else to go or whatever. And it truly looks like we're down to 150.
Maybe. I don't know.
And yeah, I watched 75 of them get smashed
That's
by rocks.
I'm saying. So. There's Secret Invasion, which has even more Skrulls in it, which I did actually really like. That was a fun little like Marvel show that wasn't really tied into anything.
Yeah.
But I did like this part where Tessa Thompson shows up, as we know that she is now the king of mm-hmm. Asgard. And there's a moment in this where it's like, you are right there. You're right there hinting at the relationship between Monica Rambeau's mom and Carol.
Yeah, I really thought that they were going to solidify
and
that.
And then with Valkyrie and Carol, and I was like, just like, that they're a couple.
Friends
a couple.
Or roommates? Or
totally roommates. Best cool. friends. Yeah,
cool.
BFFs.
Like Laverne and Shirley.
I
love that.
Yeah. And it's a part of me says, you don't need to hammer it home, but another part of me is like, confirm it.
Right,
just
right.
do it. You well, know?
Do it the way you would have done it with a heterosexual relationship.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like, and if you're saying that Valkyrie and Carol are this on-again, off-again thing because Valkyrie has a kingdom to worry about, Carol's off in space, I'm cool with that. But just do it. Don't hint around mm-hmm. it. Just do it.
Because, right, that's the cowardly thing of, like, if you want to see it, we'll let you do it.
Right.
But if you don't want to see it, that's fine, too.
That's fine. Yeah.
Good people on both sides.
Right. Yeah, like that was fun 30 years ago.
Yeah.
When that felt edgy.
Right.
To even flirt with the concept, but now it just feels cowardly.
It does. Yeah. I agree. And I think they hinted at a relation, you know, an attraction between her and Thor. When, you know, there's that scene when Thor, they're going to go kill Thanos. Thor calls his hammer and it like whizzes right past her head
mm-hmm.
and she doesn't break eye contact. And he was like, all right, like I'm into this one. Like this one's all right. So the Kree end up taking out this planet and we find out that what they're doing is they're siphoning off one specific resource per planet. So they siphon off like air, I guess, which was the like water and fire. Okay, I can get behind that, but right. I'm like, how do you siphon off air? I don't know.
I guess there's
a giant balloon.
You hit the bracelet in a certain spot to pick a certain thing, and
that's what you get.
Also, I know she's targeting planets that Carol cares about, but it also seems like wasteful when you. I'm gonna go to the one planet because it's 99% water, and then I'm going to go to Earth to get the sun. And I'm like, well, we're 70% water.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Couldn't you just kind of like, you know, while I'm here,
right.
I'm just going to go ahead and
take them both.
Yeah. Right.
This is not a complaint of the movie, but this I was thinking, well, if that planet's 90% water, how big is Hala? Could we take 20%? Like, what are we doing?
Right.
And then when the portal...
What if we took 20% from the water planet and 20% from Earth.
From Earth. I'm sure. Now, that's going to cause problems for right. sure. Yeah. But maybe we can all...
Yeah, right. You've got Avengers. You'll be fine.
The project manager in me has... Yeah.
When that portal opened and started
chart.
Sucking up the ocean, I was like, oh, well, this is nothing. This is like a straw. This is like a drop in the ocean.
Right.
And she did open up a few more, but it was still like...
Yeah. You're not going to get enough, man.
There's no way. No. This isn't going to work.
That portal's not nowhere near big enough.
Aren't you going to need some fresh water?
Isn't it fresh water?
In the ocean?
Oh, it's salt water.
Right.
Well, they're smart.
She opens a salt portal that sucks.
Yeah, it's, yeah. There's a filter on the portals.
She goes to the planet of desalination.
Yeah. Yeah.
So while all of this is going on, we learn that Monica has developed powers. We saw that in WandaVision. Monica does become a character... They hint at her name, but her name is Photon. Like, that's what her name is in the comics. She does become Captain Marvel at one point in the, like, 80s Avengers. Like, that Avengers team that was, like, Jack of Hearts and Firefox and, like, you know, just, like, we're Ooh. Scraping the barrel.
And if you don't see the Jack of Hearts show, forget it. You're not going to have any idea.
What if I played Bridge? Would that help at all?
Maybe.
Okay. If you don't understand Bridge when you watch the show, you're not going to get the finale. He does this move that's like, oh, man.
Oh, mind-boggling. So she has developed powers, and she's working out in outer space. She's working with S.W.O.R.D.
I was thinking that version of Avengers with that lineup.
Yeah.
It's like that SNL cast after Belushi.
Yes.
It's like, yeah. Well, you're calling it that.
Right. You might have like one or two guys who were part of that team.
Charles Rocket as Jack of Hearts.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think it was like Spider-Woman, but it wasn't, you know, Jessica Drew or, you know, White Vision was on that team. And now Monica has avoided Carol at all costs. And it sounds like Carol may have tried to talk to her, but she was just kind of like, no thanks.
I don't know. I got the feeling that they were both avoiding each other.
Well, the way that Carol reacts, where she's like, oh, she's there? Can I talk? Like, you want me to patch it through? And she was like, sure. And then obviously that didn't work.
Yeah.
So we do kind of learn that there's some resentment, and we learn why, like Matt said, where it's like, you were supposed to be here for me. And she says, but I had planets to save. Sorry. So they kind of, and then they add Kamala to the mix. So now you've got these three, the Marvels, which is who they are. And they realize that they have to work together, that this supreme leader from the Kree is destroying these planets, and that she has what they call a quantum band, what Ms. Marvel calls a bangle. And if they get these two bands together,
her superpower is to walk like an Egyptian.
That's right. Mm. That is correct. If these two bands come together, basically the Kree win. Like, there's nothing that's going to stop them. It's kind of the Infinity
Gauntlet.
Nothing's
going to stop them now is Jefferson Starship.
Oh, I was like,
yeah,
Queen.
That's not Bangles.
That can't stop me now, but
yeah. It's
close enough. blow your mind right there. So, and this does become a little bit of a stripped down Marvel movie where it's just characters. Like, we're just dealing with Carol and Monica and everybody's feelings with each other. And finally, they do have that moment where we get the team kind of.
And I'll take this over a DC movie that's just blown up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'll take blown up, but if you can give me some character
stuff, I'd like to know why it's. I like to care that it's blown up.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. So they go to this next planet, And this is the most wacky. Like, this scene, and like, I don't mind the scene, but it also doesn't feel like it's from the same movie. Like, up until this point, not that we've been grounded, but not wacky.
I definitely think it's... In this movie, in the world they've set up in this movie, the singing planet makes you go, how would that work? How do they... What, you know, yes. I mean, like in a musical, when they start the song, you don't think, right, well, how do they all know this song? It's a musical. I know how it works. But this isn't that.
This is how they talk.
So for a second, yeah, I'm going.
It was like, it was all of a sudden it became Schmigadoon, which is wonderful.
Maybe, man. I don't know what that is, but probably.
It's on Apple TV.
What is it?
It's on Apple TV. It stars Cicely Strong.
Oh, I do like her.
Yeah.
I know who that is.
And, and her fiance boyfriend fall into the town of Schmigadoon, and Brigadoon is a musical, yeah, about a town like that appears once every 100 years, right? They fall into Schmigadoon, which is basically they fall into this musical, and it's all musicals like Rodgers and Hammerstein, The Music Man, that style of musical, and they're like stuck in this town and they're trying to get out, and it is so good.
Huh.
So good. Now we're on season 2 right now called Schmicago, which has been good, but not as good. But,
sure.
But Schmigadoon is really funny. And even if you don't like musicals, because it, like, it's making fun of musicals.
I've heard that before.
Because it's making fun of them. Because they're all like, whenever anybody breaks in the song, they're like, what is happening? Like, what is going on? This is so dumb.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
That's kind of how I felt in this scene.
I liked it because it stands to reason that different...
That is true. That is absolutely true.
I dug it. I mean, it went on for me the exact amount of time it should go on for.
Sure.
I certainly don't want to see. They didn't leave me with like, oh, I wish I had 10 more minutes on this planet.
Her saying he's bilingual, leaving it at that was
perfect.
Excellent choice.
Absolutely agree. Yeah.
And that does maybe feel like when they're writing the script, you know, they have a part where they're singing back and forth and they're like trying to figure it out and be like, you know what? What if just like,
yeah, in the writer's room, he's bilingual.
That's great. Right. Yeah. Perfect. Let's do that.
Thank
you. Let's do that.
Yeah. Excellent idea. So that, yeah, she goes to this planet and she does kind of have a moment where she's like, look, I'm somewhat of a celebrity on this planet. And I do like that Kamala's like, you're a celebrity everywhere. And she's like, yeah, but this is a little bit different. And we find out that she helped the prince of this planet out by she married him. And now she's the princess of this planet. I do like that the uniform changed. I like the star is bigger. I like the new look of the uniform. So there is this massive musical number. And I mean, like...
May I complain?
Yeah.
What we're here for.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So the humor in this film disgusts me.
Oh,
wow. That's a bold statement.
Oh, man.
I hate it. Not all of it. There's a couple, but here's the thing. When they're doing a joke, bilingual, that's a joke, right? Like, that's a funny thing. Most or a lot of the jokes in this movie are people going, yeah, I'll just stand over here. You know, and like, that even has its place. That can be funny. Kind of like when Carol falls out of the... Kamala's fallen, then she switches with Carol, and Nick Fury says a very, like, blasé reaction.
Does he say, use your black girl powers?
Not to Carol.
He says black girl magic.
Black girl magic. And I heard that line, and I was like, I mean, at least thank God it's coming out of Nick Fury's mouth.
Right.
Well, yeah. But that's a thing.
It is
black
a thing?
Black girl magic is like a movement group.
Well,
he says
like,
it as a joke. Yeah. But
yeah,
so much of it's just this sort of, like, and a thing that it happens a lot to or I feel like in the very improvised movies
sure
where you lose the character to make jokes sometimes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And one instance of this, and again, it's not like a huge thing, I'm just saying it's a lot of littles. They're walking into, and Kamala's dancing around, and she says to Carol, why aren't you dancing? And Carol goes, I am dancing. And you're like, okay, she's this stoic woman, wouldn't do this. Then she walks in a room and has a whole dance number with this guy. So it's like, oh, but if, so to respect a culture, you would dance and be silly.
Correct.
But you just, for a joke,
yeah,
implied you wouldn't do that. And I can't, you know, I can't think of any other instances, but I do feel like that happens a lot. Late era Marvel movies, it happens in this movie, where they're more concerned with doing the little, like,
not in a wink,
twinsies.
Yeah.
And then Carol's reaction to that, instead of being like, well, how would Carol react to this normally or something like that?
but yeah, I hear what you're saying. There were definitely, I don't know. I it is hard to write, in my opinion, comedy. Like, it's hard. I think making a comedy, I think, was probably harder than anything else, because you don't know, you know, with a stand-up comedian, they work for months and months and months on a tight 10 or an hour special. It is like, okay, that joke worked, that joke didn't, this joke kind of got a laugh, so if I can refine that. With a script, you just got to hope that it hits, and if it doesn't hit, we're going to the next one. That's why I think Deadpool is so effective, is because if a joke doesn't work, there's another one right behind it, and that one might work, and that one's so fast. So I do think that it's hard to make a comedy work when your character, especially like with Captain Marvel, where this entire time we've seen her, she is this stoic, badass pilot, and that's, to me, not Carol. Like, the Carol that I read in the comics does have a softer side. She has friends. Like, she's friends with She-Hulk or Spider-Woman. Like, she's got friends that pop up all the time, and she has the softer side. And when you have to switch that character real fast to make her not the asshole to this 16-year-old girl, I do think that could be a little tough.
And it feels a lot of the time to me like they're going to get to the other side, and then 5 minutes later they're going, well, to get to the other side. They're like, you did this joke, why are you doing this again?
Yeah, they're living very much scene to scene sometimes,
and you did this in Ragnarok already. You've done this joke like so many, I mean, you're right, that was Peter Parker's whole thing. I'm a fanboy, and you know, clearly we're supposed to have watched all of these movies.
I think Kate Bishop was the same way. Kate Bishop, when she meets Hawkeye, is like nerding out over Clint
and
Barton.
Again, I mean, I am being nitpicky, and like, obviously characters are going to share traits, but...
Well, no, I'm saying, like, I don't think you can complain about... Not you.
Oh, I can go, buddy. Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
I think the complaint about Kamala fangirling over Carol is ridiculous, because you didn't complain about it when Peter did it. You didn't complain about it when Kate did it. So why is this any different? They're basically, they realize that they've lost. The Kree show up to this water world, and Carol thinking she can do it on her own, fails, and they destroy this planet. I guess this planet dies.
They're done for.
they blow this one up, and this is where Carol and Monica kind of have their heart to heart, where she's just like, you left us, you left me, you know, you never came back after mom died, yada yada yada. And I do like that they use the mind meld to finally, like, it's basically the conversation that they needed to have, where it's like, the reason you stayed behind is because I killed the Supreme Intelligence. I destroyed this planet, and I've been trying to fix it ever since. I just never came back.
I also did, adding that layer, that it was because of this specific mistake I made.
Right.
I was fine with that. You had a bunch of work to do, and you couldn't focus on your personal relationships.
Right. She's a workaholic.
But I guess that makes it more streamlined. To then, Monica.
I think it keeps it in the Captain Marvel world,
and in this particular film, right?
Yeah, like, sure.
This is why she's still so focused on what we're doing right now,
right? Yeah, right. So they do get their new suits. I dig the way they all look. I think they're all pretty comic accurate, which is a thing for me. Like, as you know, I can accept the fact that Thor can't look like the comic version of Thor or Captain America, but these costumes can. Like the Captain Marvel suit is pretty accurate, and the photon suit is also pretty accurate. So they realize that the next place they're going to go is Earth, because they need the sun, and they're going to take Earth's sun. So they devise this plan. There's this whole subplot.
They know it won't be real stakes for filmgoers unless it's happening to them,
yeah. happening to our planet. Yeah. So there's this whole subplot where Nick Fury is on this space station with Kamala's parents and her brother, which again, MVPs of the movie. I think the family's great.
I was really surprised that they were featured as much as they were. Yeah. I really thought when we saw them at the beginning, I was like, oh, okay, this is kind of looping in from the show and they're going to go away and we won't see them again.
Oh, can I complain about something?
Absolutely.
Another problem I'm starting to have with Marvel films is the sort of like, look, again, I get it, right? How strong are these people? How vulnerable are these people? You got to kind of be flexible with it. But Captain Marvel's punching these guys, right?
Captain Marvel went toe-to-toe with Thanos.
And she's punching these dudes on this ship and not blowing their heads up. That's true. It's a fight. It's pretty easy for... But then they get transported to Kamala Khan's house.
Yeah.
And at one point, I believe her mom is holding him down with a mop.
Yes.
Well, this cannot be.
That's true. Yeah, it's very... that is a comedic beat where it's like... I think what would have been...
For the funny joke, yeah. they will destroy... Calm down, Matt.
This is normally what I do.
I know, yeah.
They will let the reality of their world that they've built sort of drift apart.
Yeah.
So they can do this funny thing where she's holding them down with a mop.
I think the joke would have been funnier for me if she puts the mop like in his face. And he's just like, what are you doing? Like, this is, and then just kind of swats it away.
And then they do, right after that or before it or whatever, they do a thing where one of them, like, hits him with something and he, like, does the, like, turn. Like, that didn't even affect
like
me.
Like a vase or something.
It's like, now we're doing both things. Right. Like, which thing is the thing?
That's a good point, though.
I think what they don't tell you is that for this species, like, mops are, like, their kryptonite.
See, that's all you have.
See?
If you had read, like, if you had read issue 374.
So, yeah.
It's in the show.
Of Avengers West Coast.
Right. Yeah. You would know
West Coast
things.
Avengers.
It's a very, it's similar to Unbreakable. Water.
Right.
The water and the mop.
That's right. Yeah. That's all it takes.
Like, if you're not going to put in the puddle. Effort, don't go see these movies.
Yeah.
Like I'm sorry. You're right.
The information is out there.
You just got to find it. Yeah. You just got to find it. So now our heroes are back on Earth. They have to. I should say there's a subplot where they're on the space station and Nick Fury and the other like people that work for S.W.O.R.D. are finding these little pods. And initially I was like, well, what the hell could that be? Like, yeah. I don't even like, okay, so we're dealing with like space time and alternate dimension. Like, what if I was thinking of like, what was that? Was it the Cloverfield paradox where like they're on that ship and the ship keeps like mutating around them?
I don't know.
I think that's what that is.
Sure.
And I was like, okay, space time, like the ship is being mutated, whatever. Well, it turns out that cat from the first movie has been laying eggs and it's all these
Flurkin.
Thank you. All these Flurkin kittens. And it's a plot point that I think is really smart and pretty funny.
Yeah.
Where they realize that now that the Kree have shown up and they've taken out all of the electrical systems, they have to get off the space station, but they're down to like two shuttles and they don't know what to do. And they realize that the Flarkin, with the big tongue and the mouth, can eat everybody on the space station. And then they can put the cats into the pods. And
it's
I was like
their kitty stomachs are little TARDISes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I go, as I'm watching it, I was like, this is hilarious.
I love this.
I think this is great.
And I love the fact that like the Flarkin wasn't just introduced at the beginning of the movie to solve this problem.
Right.
Like this is a character, a creature that's been around for years now.
Right. Yes.
And it's been
gave Nick Fury a scar.
Yeah. They used this pre-existing power that they have to solve this hyper-specific problem. They didn't write it backwards.
Sure.
You know, here's the problem. Let's create a solution and then set it up in the first act. This has been around for years, and they just kind of thought, you know, it'd be fun. We could do this with it. And I like that a lot.
I think those eggs or whatever, it was one of the weird editing things. They show up so late in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That you think, well, this is from... and maybe you're supposed to, I don't know, but think that it's from the Kree or something. Like, if they had a thing pretty early, you know, Nick Fury's going, did you figure out what's up with those eggs?
They do at one point, they find that one, and then all of a sudden, they start, like, pinging all over the station. Right. And I was like, well, what, are they bombs?
But that's, like, it already felt, like, too late.
It was late.
To introduce a B-plot thing.
The Flarkin laser.
Just felt weird. Just a weird, like, movie language of, like, well, if it's showing up now, this must be...
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Part of the main thing.
Right.
Whereas if, like, this was in, like, one of the first scenes, the first little drop, you would have, like, kind of been more like, what's going on with those egg different deal?
Do the old, like, the bomb under the table thing. The Hitchcock thing, where it's like, I'll show you the bomb under the table with a timer on it, and then I won't show it again, but you know that it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.
Although, you know, now being like Matt, you got to ask, well, how come we haven't ever seen
these
eggs before?
Correct. Right? I mean, like, this cat's been around since the 90s.
Right.
You know. So I do like where Carol shows up on the thing and she's like, so we're literally herding cats? And he's like, yes. I was like, all right. I was fine with it.
Yeah.
So they get the cats all in the pods and they take the pods. The pods take off. And this is where our heroes kind of realize, we've got to work together. She's got one of the bands. You've got one of the bands. So they have a pretty good fight sequence where they
get the band all together.
Get the bands together. Also, I'm pretty sure that those bands go to Quasar, who was one of my favorites from the Marvel cosmic stuff. So when they said quantum bands, I was like, oh boy. And I got nothing. So they all fight together, and of course the Kree gets the upper hand. She's going to kill Kamala. She's got the hammer, Ronan's hammer, like, attached to her head, and finally they give up the bands, the bangles, and she puts them on, and what she's trying to do, I guess, is just blow a hole to take out the Earth. I don't know what the hell this is the one point where I was like, okay, so she was using the bands before to open portals to other worlds to take their resources. So what the hell was she trying to do here?
There's something like that. It wasn't enough for the sun, but it was working.
Yeah, I thought so. I don't know. But she does it and kills herself, like, disintegrates herself. It's very much like the gauntlet where, mm-hmm. like, Thanos' arm and the Hulk's arm are just kills Tony Stark. Like, spoilers for Endgame, sorry.
Spoilers for the most popular movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. And so she disintegrates and just, you know, now our heroes, this is that scene you're talking about where they have to figure out, because now that she's gone, their powers are no longer entangled, so they can kind of do whatever they want. And they realize that that Carol and Kamala have to infuse Monica with their powers.
The same amount of power that was used to open.
Correct. And since Monica can absorb light, like, she can do it. So she goes, you know, they load her up. She flies through the portal and she's starting to close it. And as soon as she's flying through it, I was like, oh, okay, like, mm-hmm. this is what we're doing.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you can do whatever you want at this point. So she's closing the portal. Carol realizes that she's going to get stuck on the other side, and she can't get there in time. And Monica says, I knew this was going to happen the whole time. And she closes the portal. And that's what we think is going to be the last we see of Monica Rambeau. No. So Carol flies back. They, you know, at one point earlier,
inexpensive actors don't die.
Correct. Right. Yeah, yeah, right, right. Brie Larson,
at the end of a 5-picture deal, she might die.
Talk to RDJ
yeah.
about that.
In fact, end of a 5-picture deal, very likely they will die.
Yeah.
Unless you're Tom Holland. Tom Holland, I mean, Lord knows how many. He's like, can I sign on for 15 more?
I think he's smart enough to be like, you know what? I'm going to ride this train as long as you will let me.
Can I do other bad movies in between?
Yeah.
Yeah, bud, go for it.
Yeah, because they don't need him so much that it precludes him from doing other work. So,
no.
Like, okay.
He's like, I'm sure Feige's like, can you not do another cherry? That'd be great.
Yeah.
Please, Jesus. So earlier in the movie, Monica does say to Carol, look, you can do this. Like, you can restart their son. And there was a moment where I was like, she's powerful enough to restart the son? Like, holy.
Well, a son. Maybe their son is.
That's fair.
Is strong
is
as
not,
ours.
Is not as strong as ours. Yeah. That's possible. So Kamala lands on Earth and she has a moment with, and again, I do feel like there's a character shift for her where she's not joking. She's not laughing. Like, she's solemn, and she's like, we lost Monica, and where's Carol?
Like, she realizes it's not all fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not a game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she meets with her parents, and everybody's happy. The Flurkins start puking up sword workers, which I think is a funny gag in the background.
I liked that they were getting airsick as they were.
I did.
I really thought they were going to do a Marx Brothers stateroom thing.
Same.
When they opened the escape hatch on Earth, that there was going to be just like hundreds of people crammed in there falling out like a Great White
concert. Or just
concert.
A mess of blood and meat.
That's also, I was like, man,
like a Great White
like
concert.
A Great White concert.
Oh,
yeah. So then we see Carol flies to Hala, and she reignites their son.
She's literally a Hala back girl.
She is a Hala back girl. Yeah. She does return, and she reignites their and I guess the Kree's like, thanks. I guess we're good.
Thanks for finally thinking of that.
Yeah, really. Like, you could have just done that.
You've been making us breathe this toxic air for the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Carol.
It's this. This part I might full on complain and say is bad. Like,
I think that
she goes, Monica's like, you could probably restart it. She's like, well, I never tried that before.
Hell have you been?
Sounds hard. I don't know.
That's like that scene in Happy Gilmore. He's like, where are you on that one? Jackass.
Sometimes you just don't think of certain things, you know?
That's true.
I was going to get the car washed yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, I want a soda. And I was like, and I normally just pour soda in a cup like you got right here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I was like, oh, if I pour soda from the 2 liter in the cup, then now when they go to clean the car, there's gonna be a cup in the car, or I'm gonna have to take the cup out of the car. I just won't take a soda. On my way back from getting the car clean, I'm like, I have cans of soda. Why did I not grab a can of soda?
You need a Monica Rambeau in your
life. Right. That's true. Yeah. So I'm like, so when she like totally brain farts, I have the power to restart a sun.
Uh-huh.
I get it.
Whoops.
I get it.
But Carol, one of your powers is creating water for a planet. Oh, God.
Son of a bee.
You're right.
Why didn't I think about that? So then we see that the cons have been moved, since their house got destroyed, into Monica's old house in Louisiana.
Is that who was
I Carol?
Tell.
I think they're helping Carol.
I think they're helping Carol move it.
Oh,
which I was confused about that as well, and I landed on Carol's moving into that house.
Okay,
because that house is in Louisiana.
Right. That's what I thought.
And they're in New Jersey, so like, yes, it's nice to have a house, but everything else about your life
is in Jersey,
in New Jersey.
But their house is destroyed.
Yes, I mean
I'm sure there's a superhero around somewhere that can be like, fixed it. Well, done. Cersei from the Eternals. She can fix it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Exactly. Talk to Kevin. He'll tell you all about it.
No.
Watch this over Eternals any day of the week.
A million times.
A million times.
Well, you can't have him on these episodes.
It's
all Eternals talk.
It's all
the whole time.
About, yeah. So there, and I do like that Carol has a bangle and Kamala has a bangle. So then, obviously, they know, like, we can't put these two things. You see what it did to that gal? Like, it disintegrated her.
Although, Kamala used it just fine.
That's true. She did use them just fine.
Maybe end with her having both? She's got them both now.
No, Carol's got, when they're sitting in the airplane,
at
the variant, Carol's got one and she's got,
and
Kamala's got one.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Nobody does. So then, the first post-credit sequence, Haley Steinfeld walks into her apartment from the Hawkeye TV show. And it's almost the exact same scene from Iron Man, where you see a character sitting in the shadows and says, you know, Kate Bishop, like, yada, yada, yada. And they are putting together the Young Avengers, which I think is
this has got to be a TV show, right? They don't really think that they can carry a film.
I have no idea.
And I mean,
is Spider-Man their leader? You know what I mean? Like, that's right how you make it a movie, right? You have
that's fair.
Yeah. I can see that.
Yeah, if you get a big enough
to be the head of the Young Avengers.
Like, you worked with Tony and them, and you're the youngest.
But
like
it'd be hard to get Spider-Man just because I don't know that Sony would want to do
that. Sure.
Oh, that's fair.
Just, you know, behind-the-scenes drama.
But who knows?
I just assume they were setting up a Disney Plus.
They could. That's possible. So you're going to have the Young Avengers in the comic book is Stature, who is Cassie Lang, who we have seen already.
Yeah.
Kate Bishop, Hawkeye, the twins from WandaVision,
Oh, can't wait.
Wiccan and whatever.
Love those little guys.
Wiccan and Wacken.
Wiccan and Wacken.
Yeah.
The fun one is Iron Lad, who is an alternate version of Kang, who we have also seen. We may not see Jonathan Majors anymore, but that the Kang character,
yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe this is a way to get yourself a different Kang.
Or you make him Doctor Doom.
Yeah.
Like
you're also, we've established a Hulk son.
Oh, right.
Oh, that's right. We did, didn't we? Oh, man, I forgot about that.
Well, just kind of go like, oh, and by the way.
Yeah. This is my kid. Also, I'm trying to think who else is on that team. It's, did anybody watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier?
Yeah.
Okay, so the original captain, the old black dude.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
His grandson is the Patriot, who is also part of the Young Avengers.
But they'll do Ironheart, right? Like, that's...
They have to. Yeah, she would absolutely be on that team. So they are setting that up. And then, like, I think Vision was, like, their leader, kind of. Like, their mentor, I think.
Where's he been?
That might be a problem.
Not if you use the white Vision.
Oh,
yeah. He flew away.
Of course he did. Yeah. And just have him, like, be their bodyguard. And I think that's fun. Like, I think Hailee Steinfeld is great. I think she's great in that character.
When she was like, I'm putting together a team of kids or whatever. Yeah. She's like, I'm 23.
Yeah. She's like, where did you get that thing? They left it on my couch.
Well, I was looking at ages. Like, I think Tom Hiddleston was like 29 in the first Thor.
Oh, was he really?
Was he?
That's something I read. It was a little, but like, right. These Young Avengers, I mean, it's going to be 3-4 years before they it's movies, you act a little younger, but it is funny that it's like, well, they weren't like old.
Right. And then the big one, which I think I said to somebody, I was like, look, to me these two post-credit sequences feel like old school Marvel, where it's like, holy like, I did not see this coming.
I don't feel like the post-credit sequences have really mattered dramatically in a long time.
Yeah. Last one is big.
Go ahead.
So,
then I'll complain after.
We appreciate your patience.
So Monica wakes up in a hospital room and she looks... We know that she's in a different reality. We know that because she was on the other side of that
wall. Because they said she's in a different reality.
She's on a different side of that wall. Yeah, right. So she turns to her side and there's the actress that plays her mom. And I meant to say earlier, there's a great line that references Doctor Strange where Carol says to Monica's mom, she's like, it shouldn't have been me. Like, you should have been Captain Marvel. And then we see in the Multiverse of Madness, she is Captain Marvel,
right.
Which I was like, okay, that's kind of fun. Like, that's a good little throwback. Well, in this one, we see her again, and she's sitting there, and Monica snaps up, and she's like, Mom, oh my God, I can't believe, I missed you so much. And the woman is just like, what are you talking about? Like, what's going
on? Who are you?
Who are you? And then you hear a very distinct voice from the background, and the camera pans, and there's Beast, not in makeup, but which is okay, because the CG was pretty good, voiced by Kelsey Grammer. So the X-Men are here in some form.
I guess. I mean, we already saw Professor X
in Multiverse of Madness.
But that was like in a multiverse. Of course,
but this
as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
As far as I can tell, this is a universe where it's like Roger Rabbit or something. cartoons exist in the real world.
Right.
It really feels like this is designed for them to make X-Men movies, but not pull them into the MCU.
That's what I'm saying is that to me this doesn't mean anything because it totally can just be
could just go away
whatever.
To me it's the X-Men are here in some form, right? We're gonna have Deadpool later this year.
Isn't that Multiverse?
I
feel like the Professor X thing and this thing are literally the same meaning. Until they're not, right now, there's nothing to take away from it other than, the X-Men exist in other...
I guess the difference is that we're we're leaving a character from the MCU in this world. So,
so they have to interact with this again.
There's there's connective tissue in a way where Multiverse of Madness was more like, in a world of infinite possibilities, there's a thing over here that looks like this, where now we've taken a character from this world and put it in that world.
And that those people are dead.
And we haven't addressed what happens to her, so surely in another film...
We're going
to
get the X-Men.
Potentially. But I also think that you're not wrong that if they decide to never go back to this again,
I think that's true. If they never reference it again, they have not truly
set a plan in motion in the same way that like Nick Fury and Captain America.
And I don't love the idea that the X-Men would be from a different universe.
Agreed.
That's weird.
I really thought this was going to be bringing the X-Men in, that they were going to bring in a whole new group of actors to play them.
I did as well.
Yeah,
for sure.
And they've, sorry, Kevin. They fucked themselves with Wolverine.
Yeah.
They had an opportunity to cast somebody else as Wolverine, and they didn't do it, and they've got Hugh Jackman coming back.
Which I get. And I think...
Absolutely get it.
And I think what's going on is they're seeing diminishing returns on these movies.
Oh, sure.
And so they're like, look, we've got nostalgia over here. So what happens if we take the actors you love as these characters, but actually, hopefully, put them in good movies?
Yeah.
And I guess, right, it could be that Beast contacts the MCU.
Which, if it's anybody in Marvel, it's Beast. Right?
Beast,
or Reed Richards, or like those, that character, if they're going to focus on Hank McCoy, he's the one that's going to do it, right? He's the smartest of all of them. So I could see him being like, I got to reach out to that version of Hank McCoy.
I also think maybe it's just as simple as Kevin Feige wants to pull those movies in because that's where he cut his teeth.
That's true. But you know, I will say
he wants that to be part of his MCU legacy as well.
Maybe don't do that.
I'm not
more misses than hits in those.
Yeah,
X-Men
I mean, there are
movies.
Some that are really good, and there are some that are not good at all.
I am, and this is a personal thing, and I think you're right that nostalgia is more powerful than people that wanting to see new things, right?
Right.
But I'm much more interested in like going to see a movie and seeing like, oh, what's the new Wolverine going to be like?
I don't disagree with you.
Hugh Jackman in a thing that doesn't. Feels like it doesn't matter.
Right.
Right.
But we don't know yet.
Yeah. No, I guess I'm saying, like, if they make a new Wolverine movie with Hugh Jackman and he's getting pulled into this, now it just all feels. I've liked that up until this point because people have said, like, well, now anyone can die and they'll just pull in another version.
Right.
They haven't really done that, right? It's been like.
No, they haven't. That's true.
They've resisted that.
Loki's maybe the only one. I mean, that's a different.
It's a different timeline.
Guy. But, like, they've been. Clear about that. And so in
WandaVision?
What was it? Gamora.
Oh, sure.
Very like, no, we're not just pulling in another Gamora. She's dead. This is a different person.
Yeah.
And they
resist the idea of making her into the old Gamora.
Right. And so, they could have very easily been like, they were always destined to be in love.
Right.
And they didn't.
And they do kind of hint at that. But she also leaves.
Right.
But doing a thing where it's like, well, now the X-Men, we got them, we brought them in, and we can do, you know, it's starting to get like, I don't know. I mean, that's different than a character dying or whatever, but it still just feels like, well, this won't even be their world. What stakes did they?
Right.
Like
true,
when Ant-Man goes to Quantumania, I'm like, I don't care what happens. Kill the water world.
Yeah,
the other thing is we see that her mom is binary.
Is some lady in a suit.
Binary is Carol Danvers after she like loses her powers in the comic books. She's wearing the right costume.
It's so funny when she stands up in that suit.
And they make it.
And as a guy who I feel like I know a little bit about comic stuff, I'm going... I don't know.
Crystal at the end of these, I was like, now who is that? And it's gotten to the point where I'm like, Honey, I have no idea.
That anymore. Is, they've gone through the tiers of superheroes that I know.
Yeah.
And like at this point, like I need like the Who's Who manual.
That's fair.
To yeah. Because yeah, I even, right, like the Peter Quill helmet, I knew that. Yeah. I didn't read any Guardians of the Galaxy, but I was like, okay, I've seen so that. I've seen that. This thing, I'm like, oh boy. It's not Storm, but I.
I got to tell you, that was. I thought I got spoiled because somebody posted like a screen grab of what I thought was someone walking across screen in the white Storm right. outfit. And I was like, ah, damn it.
Yeah,
I didn't. And then man, I got to tell you, though, I think Kelsey Grammer as Beast is one of the best casting choices they ever did. And hearing his voice again in that that look, it's not that outfit because that's CG. But
yeah,
there is a thing, too, of just like how many movies are you going to get out of Kelsey Grammer. Right.
Yeah, like another reason to recast is it's cheaper.
Yeah. Well, you had Nicholas Holt.
And you can lock him in.
Yeah, right.
You had Nicholas Holt as the young Beast. I mean, if
don't do that either.
But if you're going to do a CG Beast and he's just doing voice work.
Yeah.
I mean, do that shit on the phone.
Yeah, and you probably only have to pay him like a third.
Yeah, right.
You know? But I also wonder, like, okay, if this is the road we're going down, who is our Charles Xavier?
Yeah, sure. That's a good question.
Right. You know, because they've got two of them.
And the one is real old.
Yeah, and I mean, he seems to be in great health.
Yeah.
But, like, same thing with Magneto, right? Like, where...
You
like,
got two of them.
Which one you picking?
Yeah.
Fassbender.
Yeah.
That's the one you're picking.
Oh, I mean, you get them both in there, and all of them. And the one from the cartoon comes in, too.
Which cartoon?
Did you guys ever play the arcade game? So it's the pixel version in the movie.
But, X-Men have always had Wolverine, Colossus, Nightcrawler, Beast, all those, you know, those characters have a soft spot in my heart. Like, those are some of my favorite characters.
You know what else, too, I was thinking? And this is, there's nothing they can really do about it, but a lot of the excitement kind of has gone for me because it's like, well, I'm not going to see Wolverine hang out with Iron Man. You know what I mean?
No, but like, you could get Wolverine and Spider-Man.
But that first...
I can't help but think as when they start seeing, like, the box office on this is abysmal, which is unfair.
It is very unfair.
Because Eternals should have had this kind of box office.
Adam should have had this type of box office.
Yeah, like this movie was fun.
It's
not without its problems for sure. Like
you think you back a truck up and be like, hey Chris, hey Rob,
yeah,
can you come back?
I think those conversations are absolutely happening right now.
I think that's a problem. Yeah. I think Chris Evans,
it would right the ship, but it's a short term fix.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of the things that DC Comics has always done, but Marvel never really did, is they built up the legacy character. Mm-hmm. So you have Wildcat 1, Wildcat 2, different iterations. You have different guys that can wear the cowl. There's different, Superman can be his son. It could be the clone. It could, you've got these different options, different Green Lanterns, all that stuff, where I do feel like Marvel hasn't really ever done that. There have been people who have popped in as Captain America.
But they never stay.
And
which I always thought was weird anyway. I'm like, it's just a drawing of a guy in a suit. Like, what do you care what his name is? Yes.
You had an opportunity with both Sam, and Sam is your Captain America for now. We've got New World Order coming out this year, I think. I don't know.
I think it just got
Did it get pushed back? Okay. So you've got Sam and you've got Bucky, who are both your options for Captain America. Would I love to see Chris Evans come back? Absolutely. That guy is amazing as Captain America. But there comes a point where you just have to move on, and you have to be able to build those different actors into those characters.
Because when you cast Chris Evans, nobody cared.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
When you cast Robert Downey Jr., nobody cared.
People
were like, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, nobody knew who Chris Hemsworth was.
You're going with the drug addict? Like, that's,
No,
like,
absolutely.
I mean,
why when I see people bitching about Nia DaCosta, and he's just like, how are you going to, like, the underperforming director of the underperforming Candyman? It's like, that movie made like $80 million on like a $25 million.
What are we talking about?
So, like, when we talk about directors and the casting of those original MCU characters.
But what movie?
Oh, Candyman.
No, Candyman. But what?
The remake of Candyman.
That's insane.
Directed
Candyman
this.
Was great.
I thought it was Candyman. A lot of fun.
Yeah.
It was. But it's like, this is what Marvel does.
Yeah.
When you get Jack Johnson and Kenneth Branagh and who else was it? Joss Whedon, who wasn't like he was a name, but he didn't have a bunch of wins under his belt.
He was a TV name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when they say that they, you know, that I can't believe they trusted a $250 million movie to somebody that
or John flopped. Favreau.
Thank you.
Like, who would have thought John Favreau would make a good superhero movie?
The Russo brothers.
Oh, yeah, right? Yeah. They'd done the Lego movie was their...
No.
What did they...
Marley and Me or, like, Community.
They had done episodes of Community, and they did You, Me, and Dupree.
That's what
okay.
You, Me, and yeah, Dupree. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like, are you telling me that Feige knew
right.
that these guys would make...
their Community episodes were good sizzle reels for...
Well,
because they had done, I think, like the paintball episode or
something.
Oh, okay. They had done something that was very kind of like action movie parody.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think it was probably the Community episodes, even though that's counterintuitive.
The guy that directed Spider-Man. The yeah. three Spider-Man movies. Like, that, you're telling me that off of the movie Cop Car, they knew that he was going to be a solid hand behind
but
the
camera?
But that's
the thing, too, of, like, I think that viewers have to... Well, they never will be, but they should be smarter about it. These people should understand that it's not one person. Was
no.
Cop Car well directed? Yeah, or I don't know. I've never seen it. But good. You know I what I mean? Like, you could watch...
And, you know, it's not only was Cop Car well directed, it's how smooth did the set
right,
run?
Right.
Did he bring it in on time? Was it on budget?
And
there are other aspects. And a lot of the more complex aspects of these Marvel movies are not being handled by the director.
No.
The director is not handling the action scenes in a lot of these
and
movies.
And that's like if somebody said from this movie, well, do you think the director was good? I don't think I'm smart enough to really... But I think I would probably go, yeah, I think the scenes were good.
Yeah.
I think the editing was bad. You know, there's...
That's
other,
not on
there's
her.
Different element. And so, yeah, if they, like, hire the editor from this movie, I might go, well, hold on. But then again, then I think you're right. I think this was a much longer movie that the editor had to cut down, so maybe that's not even on them,
maybe
you
maybe,
know
maybe they tried to do the best they could with
I mean,
what they had
in the fight scenes. I knew what was going on, and that's a very it's three
that's
people
a,
switching places
a big win. Yeah.
So maybe the editing is good, you know, and,
right
it is interesting these like I don't even know what you call them idiots
neckbeards
that just think they like know more than these professional and I get it these professionals make bad choices a lot, but it's also human beings doing things, and you got to make a choice.
And you have a lot of moving parts
so,
on
yes.
a movie like this, because it's also like, oh, no, that's a great line, but it completely negates this TV show we're going to
right.
in 2 years.
Right, right,
and
right.
so
and
we
you
can't
know,
do that.
I also don't want to do that thing. I just read a quote from someone. I feel like...
Zack Snyder?
I want to say it was George Carlin, but that doesn't sound right. But they were like, I never say a movie's bad because so many people worked on it and put their heart into it. It's like, dude, okay, movies are bad. Like, relax.
We're not on your work, but it's not a good movie.
It's just,
not this one. This one's, I, you know.
Like, yeah, sometimes you work hard on stuff and it's bad, and it's fine to say it's bad.
What have we always said? It's just as easy. It's just as hard to make a good movie as it is a bad one.
It's amazing that we ever get a good movie at all.
Right.
Like, there's
or
so,
just a movie.
Right. There's so many moving parts that go into making something good.
Right.
It's surprising we've ever gotten any classic films because it's not easy to
it's
do.
Not easy to do.
It's not easy to do. And it's not easy to have to make a movie that 20, 30, 40, 50 years later is still good.
That's a good point.
With a modern
the longevity.
Eye still works. Like, that's really hard to pull off. And sometimes, like, I remember sitting down with my son and watching Butch Cassidy, and, like, he got sucked in and was like, that's a good movie. And I'm like, because every scene works. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a series of mini films. And, like...
Like, The Sting is the same way.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, every line of dialogue is great.
You're hooked in.
Yeah, and you're just immediately sucked in, and it never lets you
go. Man, we watched Strangers on a Train.
Yeah,
not
so
too long
wonderful.
Ago.
So wonderful.
And it's so funny how a like, wipe will happen or something that dates it.
Oh.
And you go, oh, yeah, this is before they knew that looks dumb or whatever.
Yeah.
Because that's a great...
It's
great movie.
Fantastic
and,
movie.
And fairly, like, unique still, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting to see, like, great ideas and innovations people had that haven't been copied and copied.
Sure.
It's been copied at least once.
sure. But I mean,
I throw Mama from the train.
Yeah, right.
Is Strangers on a Train.
That's so strange.
I don't know. It's just such a.
It's not an idea that's been beaten to death.
Right.
Such a high concept.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21, and on Letterboxd at the same.
This is Matt. You can find me at. I comment on Joe's letterbox. So just look in the comments, and you'll find kind of what I think about what he thinks.
I love it. And this is Tom. You can find me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. So this is, you can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there,
the clip
page. The clip out. Also,
that one doesn't need any press. Stop. That one.
Like the page, join the group, do all the things. So anyway, that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Patty and Canoe make up.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's going to ruin the plot. Real spoilers.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.